Welcome to Jury Duty. I'm your host, Carrie Antholis. This season of Jury Duty explores the trial of Michael Barrisone, who was charged with the attempted murders of Lauren Kanarek and Robert Goodwin in Long Valley, New Jersey. Kanarek was struck in the chest by two bullets from Barrisone's weapon, and as it was undisputed that Barrisone fired those shots, his legal team argued that he was not guilty because he was legally insane at the time of the shooting and, in the alternative, because he fired those shots in self-defense. In our last episode, we continued our coverage of the defense cross-examination of Ms. Kanarek as the witness offered additional testimony about her decision to record conversations between the defendant and others without their knowledge and about her financial relationship with the defendant. On today's installment, defense attorney Edward Belenkis continues his questioning of the witness with another round of inquiry about Ms. Kanarek's social media attacks on the defendant. That's all coming up right after the break.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
At the end of our last episode, Michael Barrisone's lawyer, Edward Belenkis, was asking questions of alleged victim Lauren Kanarek about her financial relationship with his client when Judge Stephen Taylor interrupted the defense attorney to tell him that his area of inquiry was irrelevant to the case and instructed him to move on to another line of questioning. As we begin today, Belenkis takes a new tack.
Ms. Kanarek, at some point in time, you start bad-mouthing Michael Barrisone to people in the industry and on social media, correct?
Correct.
You tell people that he abuses and neglects horses, correct?
I don't know if I said all of that, but it could be correct. It did happen, so I might have said it.
You even called him a criminal.
I don't believe I called him criminal. It's possible, though. I'm not going to say it never happened.
Well, did you claim that flood that occurred at the farmhouse when he was in Florida with Mary Haskins was an insurance scam?
Yeah, I probably claimed that on Facebook somewhere. Yes.
You don't have a specific recollection?
No.
Telling people that he committed insurance fraud?
No, I only have the specific recollection of what he himself said about it. I don't remember whether or not I decided to go blabbing on Facebook about it that day or not. Maybe I did. I sometimes do. Not my best choice, but it could have happened.
Now, and you realize insurance fraud is a crime, correct?
Oh, yes, I realize that.
And so when I asked you the question, did you accuse him of a crime, you realize by calling him someone who's committed insurance fraud that that is accusing him of a crime, correct?
I mean, yeah, I did go to the police about it and report him, you know, because then if I didn't have exact proof, I don't want to be accused of making some of the erroneous report. So I was expressing my feelings on it based on what we had heard him say to us himself. And we very much believe that at one point he did not want the information that we had about that getting out.
Right. Well, then you told everybody on social media whatever you thought you had, correct?
Probably.
Now, you contacted SafeSport, the town, maybe other agencies. Did you ever contact the insurance company and give them this evidence that you had?
No, I did speak to the insurance adjuster, though, and he made it very clear that he had some, I don't know how to articulate it. He had some arrangement with Michael, and he could not discuss it, and he left. But I just wanted to ask him a couple of questions, and he wasn't having it, so I left it alone at that point.
He just said that you were aware of the fact that Michael Barrisone didn't even negotiate the fraud claim. There was a private adjuster that did that, correct?
I'm sorry.
You talked to him.
There was somebody that said they were a private
adjuster.
Judge,
I'm going to object at this point to the relevance. I think this is getting far afield.
Judge, I'm just questioning her answers to the questions as to what she knew and what she said.
Well, and again, you brought out that she accused him of insurance fraud. That's what's relevant. So move on. Sustained.
Now, 3 days before the shooting, were you posting on Facebook that everything from my life, livelihood, and even writing career have all been threatened should I refuse to adhere to the things I've been put through constantly.
Mm-hmm. I did, yes, read that.
And who is threatening your life?
And livelihood, as you read, Michael Barrasone and his girlfriend, Mary Hoskins.
And how were they doing that?
Several ways. They were calling Barnes and trainers from Michael's higher up, powerful, like Olympian friends, to your average, you know, next door barn, telling them that we're menaces, we're torturing them, we're terrors. And then at the same time, you know, making it like we need to leave, or they didn't want us there. So I guess in the best way to describe it is we felt they were trying to like trap us there, saying, oh, you know, you have to leave. My girlfriend doesn't like you. But oh, yeah, you also can't go anywhere else because you've been calling every single place, telling them don't take their horses. That was happening. Then the girlfriend was calling, not just calling. Michael and the girlfriend weren't just calling. They were actually going so far as to cyberstalk all of my social media pages back to up to like 5 years to see if I ever had a conflict with anyone, and then get that person involved in this dispute. Whether I'd not spoken to that person in 5 years, 2 years, 10 years, it didn't matter. They were doing things that were not okay by any of the governing bodies of the sport, by any of the governing bodies of all the sports, and quite frankly, by the law, since they were cyberstalking my page.
When you say cyberstalking your page, first of all, you indicated that they were contacting people that knew you, correct?
I don't know who, among them, yes.
Okay.
And also other people. Michael wrote in a text message to someone.
How did you see the text message?
Twitter. It was posted publicly on Twitter.
Okay.
That Michael posted literally these words: I'm a very big guy in the Olympics. I have a lot of power here, whatever. I'm good friends with the head counsel, with the CEO, Murray Kessler, and the chief of staff, the chief counsel, Sonia Keating. I have a lot of power there. Like, basically, once you've gone to the Olympics, you have all this power. So I'm going to be able to do whatever I want. Encouraging this
he
person.
He said, I'm going to be able to do whatever I want in that Twitter.
Something like that. I'm paraphrasing most of these things, you know, like you sort of have a little bit. But yes, in the instance that you're discussing, yes, on Twitter, it's public, posted publicly, the text message that Michael Barrasone wrote to this person saying, Mary Hoskins said she found you online. She's never met you. I'm this big guy in Olympic sports. I have a lot of friends. I'm good best friends or good friends with the head counsel, Murray Kessler, who's the CEO, the lead counsel, Sonia Keating, good friend as well, basically asserting his power. And he's this big Olympian who can bully us peons into submission in whatever way he wants on an anger temper tantrum and get others involved in doing it, which to safe sport is an abuse of power, which to the law, I'm sure, is cyberstalking. I don't know. And to USEF, our oversight body, would also be weaponization of the oversight body and a violation of their code.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Defense Attorney Belinkis follows up with Ms. Kanarak about Michael Barrasone's complaints regarding her attacks on him and Mary Hoskins Gray.
And you think that by him contacting these people and talking to them about you and what is going on, specifically the postings that you're making, the bad-mouthing that you're doing of him and all his staff, that there's something inappropriate with him checking you out or conducting an investigation as to who you really are?
I'm sorry, I missed the question in that.
That's the reason that you just stated in your last answer is the reason why you claimed in this post that your life and livelihood have all been threatened.
Yes, when an Olympian blatantly says to someone in a text message, I am going to ruin this person's life.
Who said that?
Michael said it. He said...
There is a text out there or any post...
Can you let her finish, Mr. Belenkis, please?
I'll withdraw the question. Is there any...
Actually, yes, post? I do believe there is a text out there that he wrote.
Okay. Did you give that text to the prosecutor for him to use in this courtroom?
No, I did not.
Where is that text that you just said Michael Barrasone said he was going to ruin your life?
Well, we heard him saying it. We heard he texted people this, saying he's going to ruin our lives and, quote, find a way to make our lives hell. We got wind of the fact that he was, in fact, doing that when we spoke to another person who I'm not going to bring into it at the moment. I'm sure we'll come in later. But, like I said, for all the world to see, he put on display by texting this woman that he is this big guy in Olympics and that she, in fact, a person who's not even a horse person, should immediately call these oversight bodies and make complaints against us. And this is a person I had a personal dispute with that ended years prior and was telling her, make this complaint and don't worry, it's okay. I'm a big guy in Olympic sports. No one's going to... That's how the text reads.
What was that?
I'm sorry, what was the question?
Was that...
Don't even think about going there, Mr. Belenkis. Move on. Okay. We're going down a rabbit hole here. Move on.
I need a yes or no answer if you can answer that way. Is there a text message to support what you just said in your last answer where Michael Barrasone said he was going to destroy your life? Yes or no?
If I recall correctly, there is.
Okay.
I would not swear my life on it. Those exact words were used, but I would testify that some words to that effect were used in the text.
And did you tell that to Prosecutor Shelhorn?
I don't know. I honestly don't remember.
I mean, we have all
of his... many conversations.
You're aware of the fact that we have all of his texts, your texts, Mary Haskins' texts?
Well, Judge, I don't know that that's accurate. That
yeah, Mr. Belenkis, ignore that, members of the jury. Ask another question, please.
Would it surprise you to know that Michael Barrasone doesn't have a Twitter account?
No, it wouldn't surprise me. He has a Facebook account, though.
Well, you just said you saw it on Twitter, correct?
Yes, I saw it posted by another person on Twitter.
Another person?
Yes, a text made by Michael Barrasone to this person, and this person posted a photo of that message on Twitter. In fact, there were several of them. Some of them are still there. Some have been deleted and screenshot. Some are still there right now.
Let me ask you this. Did you ever post something regarding Barrasone and Mary Haskins and then delete it?
Not that I recall, unless Facebook took it down or a site that thought like a post was inappropriate or said edit or delete it. I do not recall deleting any posts. That's more Mary Haskins thing.
No. You just talked about having or listening to recorded conversations between Michael Barrasone and his staff concerning you. Mm-hmm. Did there come a time when you would use those words to taunt him? His own words.
Taunt him?
Yes.
No, we're not called that.
What do you call when you post private conversations that someone has on social media? Do you think that would have an impact on...
Can she answer the question?
Yes. How many questions? Just one at a time. Let her answer, and then you ask a follow-up.
I would think that since in those very recordings that you're speaking of, he literally says...
Listen, I'm not asking you what he said. Well, I'm asking you...
Mr. Belenkis.
She's not answering the question, Judge.
I don't know because you cut her off. I don't know if she's answering it or not.
I'll withdraw the question.
I think you should withdraw and move on to another area.
Well, Ms. Cataract.
Yes.
Did you post private conversations that you recorded of Michael Barrasone on social media?
Yes, I did.
Did you text him some of the private conversations that you had recorded?
I don't think so. Maybe. I can't imagine I would text him. I recorded you saying this,
no.
But I don't know. I don't know the answer. I'm sorry.
Let's turn to August 6th, the day before the shooting.
Okay.
No. I'm going to ask you some questions with regards to a Facebook post that was posted for everyone to see.
I'm sorry.
And this is the one where you start off, where you say, Some advice to all couples. Never give an ultimatum.
Yeah, remember that post? This is the post you just read a few seconds ago.
No, this is totally different.
This is the six chapters.
August 6th.
Well, yes. why don't you show it to us so we can get it clear?
I'm showing your Facebook post, page 3135.
Yes.
I think that's page 3135 of S402, just so the record is clear about what is being shown.
Read this. Is this your Facebook post that goes on to the second page?
Yes, this is the one where you read about the homewrecker girlfriend and VK.
No, this is a different one. August 6th.
Yes, the sixth chapter post that we read talked about.
Nope, we haven't gone over this one. This is okay. Another one.
Okay, you say so. I'll take your word for it.
Okay. August 6, 2019. Mm-hmm. Now, you start off this social media post by saying, never give an ultimatum.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear anyone in your secret recordings give Michael an ultimatum?
I have no idea. Probably. Actually, yes, I did. But and I don't know how direct they were. I don't know how to answer that question. Yes, there are ultimatums given.
And you've heard that in private conversations?
Correct.
Who were the ultimatums given by?
Mary Haskin, in some cases. Michael, I believe, and some other. Mary DeFranco, and quite a few.
And these were all captured from your locker in the stable area?
That's correct. They would all gather on the bench and discuss things. Why they were doing it in front of my locker, I couldn't say. But, I mean, there are horses walking by, so horses typically don't go in living areas.
Have you listened to all these tapes? There's not horses going by now.
Mark, Mr. Belenkis,
okay.
Come on. Enough of the comments, please. Just ask a question, get an answer, ask another question.
Now, with regards to this post, which is the day before the shooting, mm-hmm. You're talking about, and correct me if I'm wrong, people that give ultimatums tend to be miserable and insecure people, correct?
Correct.
And again, you say, and correct me if I'm wrong, numerous world-class show animals and even managed to get the human husband on an alternate list for a coveted spot in the Olympics and produce winning competitors prior. You put in parentheses, again, just a random example.
Right. When don't you see who you are, but if you're reading from it, then...
When you posted things like that, did you intentionally make a statement and try to cover your tracks with another statement like, that's only examples, I'm not talking about you, or using metaphors? Did you try to disguise who you were talking about?
Probably, that I wouldn't be, so I'll just leave it at yes, probably, yeah, that would make sense.
But will you agree with me that it's clear in this post that you're talking about Barrisone and Haskins?
It's clear to me, yes.
Or to anybody that knows Barrisone or Haskins, correct?
And that knows I'm training with them, and that's where I'm located, and that had they made these phone calls bad-mouthing us for what we believe is no reason, they might come to my page and say, okay, there's another side of the story. Okay. And I wouldn't have to say a name or out anybody so that anyone else would know. But those people that we discussed were getting phone calls that were not involved in anything going on, would maybe come to my page and say, okay, there's more to this than what we're hearing from their side at the moment.
And is it true that when you're making these posts, you always try to qualify things to a certain extent to protect yourself, correct?
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Like, for instance, where you said here, upon this hypothetical husband, in quotes, mm-hmm. return, he had in tow with him a much younger woman who hosted said clinic. Not pretty on the outside or nice on the inside. Just spiteful, adulterous, and insecure. Did you say that about Mary Haskins?
Yes.
Did you say that after the divorce, that Mary Haskins, she began discussing plans to remodel the home her boyfriend once shared with his wife?
Mr. Belenkis, let me see that sidebar, please.
After another sidebar where Judge Taylor admonishes the defense counsel for the relevance of his line of questioning, the judge resumes the proceedings briefly.
All right, move on, Mr. Belenkis. Or is this a good time to break, Mr. Belenkis? 4:25.
I think it is.
All right.
It's my wife's 60.
Well, we don't need to get into that. Just tell me yes, it's time to break. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we'll break for today. Please don't discuss the case. All right, we'll see you tomorrow morning, same time. You can step down, man. You can just wait outside. Just don't walk down that end. Just stay down this end until the prosecutor comes out.
Sure.
All right, thank you.
After the jury has left the courtroom, Judge Taylor offers one final admonishment to the defense attorney before adjourning for the day.
Mr. Blackis, don't ever comment to the jury about anything in your personal life, all right? It's inappropriate. I know, but it's not necessary. It's just not, it's completely unnecessary. And it's, well, why do they have to know that? Why do they have to know that? It is a big deal. It is a big deal. You shouldn't have any communications with the jury.
And with that, Judge Taylor brought day three of the Barrison trial to a close, and we conclude this episode of Jury Duty, the trial of Michael Barrison. If you would like to listen to these episodes early and ad-free, head over to our Jury Duty Crime Story Patreon page.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You can find more information about this trial on our Jury Duty Crime Story Patreon page or at crimestory.com. Jury Duty is created, hosted, and produced by yours truly, Carrie Antholis. It was co-produced and edited by Chris Tarracone. Music for this episode was provided by Strike Audio, and trial audio is courtesy of Law & Crime Networks. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you will come back for the next episode of Jury Duty, the trial of Michael Barrison.